halachas in her story. Like the Rav mentioned this year, he mentioned, might not really be against, might really be a question, but the way they were raised, any question is considered against. You know what I mean? Truth matters not. So, of course, any question you have, this is something which a person is supposed to analyze. And a question you have, this is a stepping stone for a greater understanding, greater knowledge. It's a good thing. But, unfortunately, the way most people, most of us are raised, it turns out that it's a bad thing. But therefore, I say that this class is really made for those questions that a person had about Yahadis, has had. I say had because a lot of times when you get older, you don't have the question anymore. Not because you find a solution, but because you stop asking the question. Sort of adjust, you know what I mean? So, forget about that. Okay. So, therefore, that's what this class is really for. Certain questions that people have about Yahadis. Okay? Now, the thing is that let's first choice should be to the new, to those who are new, because they usually have the best questions.
Why?
It's not so simple. See? The first thing the Gemara says is, Kibay Shamai Lakula, Basil Lakula, Nikar Russia. That's what the Gemara says. The person says every Kula, Basham, Basil, Nikar Russia. But, however, that's only in what case? That's only the Gemara says if it's a Tata Vasasri. Like, we dive the Mincha late, because he holds. That he davened mincha late because he holds that that yom extends till tes kachavim, and then he davened ma'ariv early because he holds that laila begins at the plaga mincha. See? So then he's nikar Russia. Gemara says that's nikar Russia, but it's only because the tata de sasri. So it would appear on the surface if it's not a tata de sasri, a person can follow every kula that he wants. He certainly would not be nikar Russia. Certainly wouldn't be Nikar Russia. Okay? Alright.
What's
Syria, that's all it means. It could be within one day. Tata Sasha could be within 1 week. The question was what a person has to do is how does a person have to be Nayig? That's the question, right?
Yeah.
Alright. So from the Gemara would seem that a person can go to Kula, right? You can go to Kula, go to Shema, Kula, Basil, Kula, as long as not Tata Sasha. Alright. That's what the Gemara seems to hold. But that's not the only factor, however. Not the only factor. There's another halacha, there's another factor which a person will be involved in insofar as a person is part of a tzibur. And a person can't break the minhag ha'makom. The minhag ha'makom is the minhag, like a certain pesach, so you can't break the minhag. Otherwise you break the whole system of halacha. Because halacha has to be a system. So every guy will be doing his own way, then it won't be a system anymore. You see? So therefore, that halacha speaking, that Gemara speaking for Yachid, as far as the Yachid is concerned. But so far as the Minhag HaMakom is concerned, the person can't go around doing anything he wants and destroying the Minhag HaMakom. Okay. Yeah. That's why the Gemara says, is that it's halacha too in Yeridaya, Gemara Sanhedrin. That even if a person knows of a heter, something he knows, he figured out something that's heter gomer, but it's matmiya sarabim. Matmiya sarabim means that when people hear this, they're astounded. They say, wow, I didn't know that's mutter. Boy, oh sure, it's asa. So the Gemara says something like that, you're not allowed to paskin that it's mutter. Not allowed to paskin it's mutter.
Even if it would be.
Even if it's real mutter. Not allowed to. That's why they wouldn't let Rav be Mata Bechairis, Mumin. Because he knew he was such a bucky that he'd be Mata in so many cases that people would say, hey, how's he Mata? That's a real mum. So if Matmiya is a Rav, you're not allowed to do it. Because it breaks the system of Allah. Very important thing. That's why it's very important that a person should be very careful with these things. Because especially B'nai Yeshiva, I would say, I would lay emphasis on that, especially B'nai Yeshiva, because people watch you, what you do, and they feel that you're the only ones that are really involved in learning. I mean, you know, they're involved in business. They see guys that are real involved in learning. And if they watch, they see you do certain things. If you know something's mutter, you could do it yourself. But you can never in any way do it so that others would become aware of this. Because this is a danger to the whole structure of halacha, to the system of halacha. The system of halacha is a very important thing, system of halacha. When they're astounded and they see that somebody does something that they were sure, they were convinced it's usher, so it breaks the whole system. They say, one second, there's no system here. I thought, oh, there's mother. There's no system. They get a feeling there's no system. See?
As far as the yachid is concerned, if you know that, go to Kula.
What? One second.
As
The Yoch is concerned. He's not considered a Russia. He's not considered a Russia. One second, not considered a Russia. Well, what's the Yoch is concerned? He's not considered a Russia if he goes Lakula. You see? Goes Lakula. What? But not what? But not. And not insofar as he belongs to a tzibur, he has certain obligations to the tzibur. Because people see him do things that are strange, and it breaks their whole concept, their whole system of halacha. That's a very important thing, the system of halacha. As a matter of fact, what? That's right. That's right. As a matter of fact, it's so important that there was the Mech de Eloi. I don't know if you ever heard of the Mech de Eloi. Mech de Eloi, ever mentioned it? Mech de Eloi was a Talmud of Reb Chaim. He was 12 years old, he learned about Reb Chaim. There are other people who learned Reb Chaim about 30, 40. He was 12. He's an Eloi, one of the biggest geniuses in Europe. As a matter of fact, like people used to, people, you know, Friday night, they, a lot of people bench their kids. You know, I don't know if you ever saw that. They used to say, and mothers used to say, you know, say, you should be like the Mech de Eloi. Say, so he's Fox, maybe the Mech de Eloi. That's kind of a genius he was. He's known throughout all of Europe. Man was a super genius. 12 years old, he learned Reb Chaim. Brilliant mind. Yeah, unfortunately, he had a very tragic life, a very difficult life. Couldn't find his. What happened was, when he got older, so he couldn't find a place because all the Rashivas were afraid of him. So they wouldn't take him into. Nobody wanted him take him into the yeshiva and supply at the Rosh Yeshiva. So he had a very hard time politically. The only one that was after Rav Chaim, because he was younger than Rav Chaim, then the Volozhin closed down, and it was a different time ready when he became, when he grew older. So the only one talking about Moshe Reines took him in though. Moshe Reines was a really big tzaddik. He took him in. But he had a very hard time, and later in life he couldn't hold on to his positions. He used to travel from one place to another. Very brilliant man like that. Unfortunately, he wasn't really appreciated later in life. When he was very young, he was known, you know, for his great mind. When he got older, he wasn't so appreciated. So he said one time, he said there is no. They asked him one time about Tanoim and Amoraim. He said there really is no there's no real proof that anyone that lived later should be weaker intellectually than a person who lived before. He said, as a matter of fact, well, from what I've seen of Sadia Gaon and the Rambam, he said Sadia Gaon predated the Rambam a few centuries. He said, nevertheless, from the writings, I can only judge Ein L'dayan Olam HaShein of Reyes, but from the writings of both, I would definitely say the Rambam was greater than Sadia Gaon. So even though the Sadia Gaon was before him. He says, and the truth of the matter is, there's nothing that says that a given Amira wasn't greater than a given Tana. He says, but why do they say you can't argue on Tanoim? He says, the reason is, he says, it's just like geographical boundaries. Practicality. You have to have a boundary, right? He says, it had to be done in order to stem the tide of Machlekes. Because the Machlekes were spreading out. He says, it would be Ein L'davasof. And the whole system of halacha would become butlam of little. So they had to say, that's it. You can't argue anymore on this Tana. See? The machlokes will have to be within the framework of these two, but intellectually, and Amira really could, or the Rambam, if you wanted to, the Rambam could hold that Rav Meir was wrong. I'm not right to say Rav Meir was wrong intellectually, Rav Meir's wrong view is right. Well, he could have the third possibility too. But they had to stop it because practically he couldn't argue. You see, because otherwise the whole system would come butlam footly, have 40 machlokes and multiplying. We'll never have a system anymore. So because of that, he said, they had to say that you can't argue on Tanoim, Amorim can't argue on Tanoim, and nobody argues on Amorim. He says, it was all done because of the practicality of the halacha. Intellectually, you could argue as much as you want against any human thought. You could argue human thought is fallible. A person could argue against anybody. But halachically, you can't do it. You find the same thing you find in regard to the Bezna Gadol, and the Bezna Gadol of Paskins. So even though a Yochid knows that he's right, and the Yochid could be right, we know Yochid can be right against hundreds of people. Right? Certainly Klal Yisrael holds that way, because we're Yochidim against the whole world, and we think we're right. Avram Evri. So a Yochid could have more knowledge than the whole Sanhedrin put together. But nevertheless, he cannot argue. If he does, it's a Zaken Mamre. When the Chazal say, even if they tell you that your left hand is your right hand, and your right hand is your left hand, you have to accept it. Doesn't mean you have to believe it. Rabban says you don't have to believe it. I mean, you know your right hand is your right hand, left hand, but you have to accept it. Halachically, you must do exactly what they say. Intellectually, you could think that they're wrong. But halachically, you must follow. They say this is your left hand, and put film on this hand. The on that hand. Because that's the system of halacha. The system of halacha is a very important thing. And all Sanhedrin, after Rabbi Mahatai, is all based on that. So I wanted you to say this in Yehadis. Otherwise, and the only reason that we survive, and I mentioned this many times, there are a lot of philosophies. And the Rambam even says that certain philosophies were very close to Yehadis. So certain things that Plato knew, that Aristotle knew, the Rambam says, was definitely the basic ideas were similar, very similar to the same ideas as Yehadis. That you should, a person should go away from Taivas Elam Hazeh, and he should be involved in Chokhmah. This is their whole idea, the whole way of life. He says they were able to uncover this with their own minds. Something that Yehadis tells us. He says it's true, but the fact still remains that those systems today are gone. And the only system that is alive is Yehadis. Why? Because of the system of Halacha. There was no system of Halacha, it would be also lost. The system of Halacha is very important. The person has to keep the Kiyum HaMitzvah. He came into not just for himself, he came into this for the whole system, for perpetuation of the system. That's part of a personal obligation that a yachid has, to perpetuate the system of Yehadis, and not to do anything that breaks the system of Yehadis. And the system of Yehadis is carried on by a Talmud Chacham just as much as it is by the Hamon. It's all one system. As far as that's concerned, the Hamon is the same, Hamonam is the same place, just as important a role Hamonam plays in perpetuating the system as a big Talmud Chacham. Why? Because he keeps the system of Yehadis, his kids keep the system of Yehadis, and because he keeps the system and he holds from Torah and he holds from those values, he keeps the system in a way that it's very possible that one of his offspring should become a great Talmud Chacham, even though he himself doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know exactly. He doesn't understand the Dikduke Halacha. He doesn't understand the in-depth Halacha, in-depth understanding of Halacha, of Derech HaChaim or whatever. But he keeps it in a way, in a basic way, set up, he keeps it in a basic way that his child, his grandson, could become a great Talmud Chacham. He introduces him, he gives him enough to be able to go a little further. Look through the sources, start learning, become a big Talmud Chacham. So Hamon has the same exact role as a great Talmud Chacham, plain little balabas, plays the same exact role in the perpetuation of the system, not any less than the great Talmud Chacham. See? That's why it's important that a Talmud Chacham doesn't really destroy the system by doing something which shakes people up. That's very important. Extremely important. I want to say, what's the chat? What? Yeah, shot. The Gemara says that a certain time, he was blind. So he thought that he was pata from all the mitzvahs. So he says, at first I thought that anyone that would tell me an either is pata mikol mitzvahs, avid niyem etarol rabbanan. Why? Because I'm not mitzvah. You know? He says in the end later, I found out that Godel mitzvah v'aisa, mimisha ain't a mitzvah v'aisa. You know? Apparently there's a havmina there, there's a maskana there. First the Gemara thought that it's better to be an ain't a mitzvah v'aisa, and later the Gemara decides it's better to be a mitzvah v'aisa. What's going on there? Why is it better to be? I can understand why ain't a mitzvah v'aisa. Ain't a mitzvah v'aisa is very good. Why? Because he doesn't have to do it, and he still does it. So it shows you that he does it me'ava, right? Eved me'ava, the highest level. It means he does it because he wants to do it, because he knows, I don't have to daven, but I know there's a benefit I gain in tefillah, you see? And I want that benefit, the highest level. I don't have to learn, right? But I know I want the benefits. I want to do every mitzvah because the benefits. Ain't a mitzvah v'aisa, that's the highest thing, it's the highest level. The Rambam says, the person does with Shema, it's the highest thing. He doesn't do it because he feels he's fulfilling an obligation. He does it because he wants to do it, because he recognizes that this is the good. Just like a person would run after $1 million if he saw it. Recognize that's the good. This is what he wants. No reason, no coercion, no force. Ain't a mitzvah v'aisa. The first is very happy because he did all the mitzvahs, and it wasn't mitzvah v'aisa, he said. So therefore, I'm on a higher level. So very good. But then I heard that they said, no, on the contrary. Godel mitzvah v'aisa. Mitzvah v'aisa, the person that has to do it and does it, is even better. Yeah, where's the Gemara? Kedushin. Rav Yosef. Mereish havmina manda hava omali alocha ker Rav Yosef. Dama suma patam in ha-mitzvahs. Avidna di yamitav l'rabbanan dolem mifkidna. Vo avidna. Hashta de shamita laho damar mechanina gadol mitzvah v'aisa yesem mimisha ena mitzvah v'aisa. Adrabba. Manda omali de'ena alocha ker Rav Yehuda. I'm sorry. Manda omali de'ena alocha ker Rav Yehuda. Avidna di yamitav l'rabbanan. That's right. Yeah. Right. That's the Lamed Aleph. Now, so... Yeah. So what's the reason? What's the reason? Yeah. Hey, Lisa. That's far. You'd be anemus of Lisa, right? That's what you wanted to say? Right? Okay. Right? You see? That's right. It's harder psychologically to do it. Because you know you have to do it. Because you know you have to do it. Yeah. But what? The question is, what do you mean you have to do it? I mean, the purpose of all the mitzvahs is what? What's the purpose of all the mitzvahs? Is the benefits. So once a person knows that, knows that's the purpose. So then, what do you mean he has to do it? He doesn't have to do it? He doesn't do it, he doesn't get the benefit? And what's the difference between mitzvah v'aseh and mitzvah v'aseh? Shouldn't make any difference? You see? Shouldn't make any difference? I mean, the mitzvahs, you're not doing God a favor. I mean, God doesn't need your mitzvahs. Pasuk and Eiv. So if anything you do, one of the, I forget which one it was, told Eiv, he says, you think that all your tzidkis, you help God out with your tzidkis? He doesn't need you. You didn't do him any favor. If you did, he did it for yourself. So same thing over here. What do you mean he's mechuyev to do it? I mean, not mechuyev to do it. I want to forfeit the benefit. What's the difference between mitzvah v'aseh and mitzvah v'aseh? What's the difference? What's the difference? Mitzvah v'aseh has a different obligation. Because mitzvah v'aseh means, since it is God's will that there should be Klal Yisrael, and there should be a system of Yahadis, that's his will. It's the will of God. So insofar as that is concerned, you have another obligation, not just a personal benefit, you see, but you have an obligation to keep the system insofar as your Avas Hashem is concerned. You see? Different Mahayat. You have an obligation because now you know that it's his will. Do you understand what I mean? But if you're Eina Mitzvah Vaisa, if you're Eina Mitzvah, you don't have that obligation. Then it's take it or leave it. I don't have an obligation insofar as the system, because God's will does not say that I must do it. That's not his will. God said the Rabbi Yosef was a Suma. God said he's Potter. Potter means he's not obligated to do it anymore. The system doesn't require that he does it. That's the system. God said the Suma doesn't have to do it. So therefore, he doesn't have any. The only reason why he does mitzvahs is because of the benefit that he gains. But he's not obligated to do it because of God's will. There's an interesting Rambam. There's a Rambam Perek Chof Hei Mehilchos Sanhedrin. You got the Rambam Sanhedrin over here? Yes. Rambam Perek Chof Hei Mehilchos Sanhedrin. Bachlo Adam Linhoig Bisrora Ala Tzibor Ubegasis Haruach. A person's not allowed to act haughty with a Tzibor. Ela Ba'anova V'yira V'chol Parneis Hamatil Eime Yisera Ala Tzibor Shlele Shen Shemayim Nenash V'ena Royal Ebein Tamal Chacham Shnema Lachen Yiru Anashim Le'yir Kochach Melev. He's not allowed to act with them in a way to be noig with them in kalas resh, means not take them seriously. Even though the people that he's dealing with are amei haaretz. V'lo yafsia al roshei am hakadosh. Afal pi shehein hedyotis, even though they're hedyotis, hedyot. U'shvalim, low, they're involved in the base emotions. They're on a low level. They're not really, they have no concept, no intellectual concept of what's going on. They don't even know what they're doing. Hegeite Sushvalim. He says, even though this is true, B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov Haim. They still are B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. V'tzivois Hashem. Shehoitzi Me'eretz Mitzrayim. B'choyach Godel of Yod Chazakah. What does it mean? What's Ram trying to tell you? You have no right to judge them by what they are, because they're an instrument of God's will. That's what he's saying. Now, you can't judge them by what they are inherently. You have to judge them by what they are in terms of the whole universe. In terms of the whole universe, you see that the Tzivos Hashem, that's what he says. The Tzivos Hashem, Shehoitzi Me'eretz Mitzrayim, B'choyach Godol V'Yod Chazaka. It means that God broke the Tevi. No, it says, V'Eired Latzilei Miyad Mitzrayim. What does Chazal say? What does it mean, V'Eired Latzilei Miyad Mitzrayim? It was a Yerida, because God doesn't like to break the laws of nature. So the Eirei was the reader. They had to change the laws of nature in order to make the Klal Yisrael. That's Tzivos Hashem. So apparently when God did that, it must mean that his will is such that this should happen, that there should be a Klal Yisrael. So therefore, you cannot judge and you cannot deal with people on the basis of what they are. Because what they are has to be understood in two frameworks. What they are as individuals, that's one framework. But what they are in terms of their purpose in the universe, That's in terms of how our Kaddish Baruch Hu views them. And you see that it's different. Do I mean? Well, okay. That's true, but there's different levels. You see, there's different levels. A goyim also mean rachma v'kol masav. The Rambam says. The Rambam says that a person is supposed to give the vaka chayla goyim. He should give them tzedakah to. He gives tzedakah to goyim also because he says rachma v'areim rachma v'kol masav. It's a masay Hashem, and a guy could be a person that. There's Gan Eden, there's Elam Haba, Filu Akam Lasek Hashemesh. Right, but this is, but Klal Yisrael is a separate, Klal Yisrael is a separate thing, is under God's will in a different way, more than Goyim. Because you see that it is His will, in this way they're unique this way. It's Atta Echad V'Shem Chacham Yikam Chazor Goy Echad Baretz. It's different, Goy Echad Baretz. Why? Because they are an instrument of God's will. It is His will that this, that they should exist. What does it mean that they should exist? Not just exist as a nation. Nation is nothing. It means to exist as a nation which keeps. The nation is only the fact that the intellectual nation. The fact that they keep Tayyag, that's the purpose. So therefore, you see the importance of the system. The importance of the system. That's why if a person breaks the system, he's really breaking the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's going against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. It means that once you know you're obligated to do it because of His will, that's the second factor. Then it's that's pshat gadol metzuva v'aisa. Metzuva v'aisa means that you can say like Tesfis, it's harder, or I would say simply that it's a greater kiyum, because it's a kiyum in avas Hashem as well. So insofar as the person does it and he doesn't have to do it, so then it's just a kiyum in his own personal benefit. See, but if you have to do it, why do you have to do it? Because it's His will. Then every mitzvah that you do is done for two purposes. One for yourself, but there's another thing. Even if it's not good for you, at a certain time, the Rambam says, every halacha can't be good for you. You do that, and what is the system? Avas Hashem. That's the pshat, gadol mitzvah v'aisa. Mitzvah v'aisa means, because everything he does is a kiyum in Avas Hashem. That's the pshat. He's not allowed to, we can't say it's us for him to do it privately, but he's not allowed to do it in any way that anyone should find out. That's for sure. And I thought how to do it. Because the klal is, anyone that does it, and they always, somebody always finds out. But unless you're on a very high level. That's fine. My personal experience has been that anyone that does something like that will always, the people always find out. And as I say, that the person, what? Cutter. Right? And then, so you're not allowed to, it's absolutely mutter. And everybody knows, everybody thinks it's awesome. So you're not allowed to do it in front of them. Right? You know, you're not allowed to, because you're breaking their minig, certainly not, and even something that's not a minig, because you're matmias a rabbin. So he asked me, what about him doing it privately? Yes, but you have to be a very big chacham before you can do it privately. Because unless you're a tremendous chacham, your privately is going to become publicly. And you should be enough of a chacham to know that you're not on that level of a chacham to do it privately. That's what I would suggest. That's my... My humble suggestion. That's what I would say. And I see from experience that once a person does it, he's very happy to let somebody else know about it, and before you know it, everybody knows about it. That's what I see from that makayim. There's two halachas. The halacha that Donnie mentioned is halacha that bifneim, and halacha if you're from another place and you're in this area, you're not allowed to do it. Bifneim. But if you're from that area, that's your minig. You're obligated by minig to do it. Different thing. Yeah, if it's your minig. You can't, you're obligated by the minute to do it.
Even the yachid in his own house has to go by
another makam. Has to do it. Minhag HaMakam is fired. But even if he's from another makam, and he doesn't have to go by that Minhag HaMakam, he's a sojourner, right? He's temporarily there. So he doesn't have to go by that. But this name is not allowed to. That's why from Eretz Yisrael, a guy comes from Eretz Yisrael, and here's not allowed to do it with his name, he's not allowed to do anything with his name. Okay? However, this involves a case in which people do something that's a minig. That's a minig means it has a halachic validity. It has to have a halachic validity. Some kiyum of some type. A minig shtus you don't have to do. You know what I mean? Like certain things people do which are absolutely ridiculous. That's not a minig. That's some nonsense. We don't want to perpetuate nonsense. Okay. But, and also it means, but a minig, most minhagim that are brought down, I mean all minhagim that are mentioned in halacha, have a kiyum in halacha. Not just on a minig, it's a kiyum. It's a kiyum in halacha. It's a halacha kiyum. And Menhagim HaBeis, the ones who are Masada Menhagim goes way back to Menhagim goes way back to the Amorayim. A lot of Menhagim Gainim, big Chachom of Masada Menhagim. And they were Masada Menhagim. They understood. They had a deep understanding of Halacha. Minig is not a small thing. And Minig is a very important thing. People don't understand what a Minig is. You really learn a sugya well, and should be able to learn through from the Torah Shebikshav to the Torah Shebaltah, of course, and into the final halacha, and then the minig has to should fit right in. It's all one thing. And Hagam are based on deep concepts. Of course, sometimes we see it, many times says minig shtus, something, some in Hagam crept in or wrong. But most of them in Hagam, and all the Hagam that we have that are halachically valid, have a kiyum. So if a kehillah accepts a minig, you're mechuyev to do it. Right? If the minig is good. But it doesn't mean, at the same time, it doesn't mean if something is done improperly that you're supposed to do it improperly. That's not minig amokan. Because that would be defeating your purpose. The whole purpose is to perpetuate the system of yahadus, right? And if something is done shalaika halacha, then you definitely shouldn't do it. Shalaika halacha is a different story. Like the Rav mentioned this year, he mentioned that the shatz is supposed to be the one that's mispalled by slichas. That the ikka tefillah is the tefillah of shatz. Nobody does it that way. Say, how could he get up there and say this to break a minig that everybody does the other way? The answer is, because they do it wrong. If they do something wrong, then the contrary. Then you should really teach the klal that they're doing something wrong, they should change it. Otherwise, you're not perpetuating the system, you're perpetuating something which is ridiculous. See? So insofar as they do something that's a kiyum, certainly you have to do it. And even if they do something which is, they hold it's usher, and you happen to know it's mutter, but it's an astounding thing. That's what Moshe, in the end of his tshuva, always says, even though he's matter, like he's matter shaving chalamayit, he says, I'm still not matter, only for this case and that case. He does that in almost in any tshuva that's a little bit, astounding. Tmua. Certain things in him right in the sefer also goes to astounding. But the thing is, you have to be careful with those things. But it's only if what they're doing is halachically right. If what they're doing is halachically wrong, then definitely you should oppose it. You should do the correct way. Yeah, I know it's a big machlokes there.
Wow.
In this case, it's a machlokes, right? But yeah, let's take another case. This case, like I said, one time I asked a question. This was a couple of years ago. I asked a question, I guess. I said, how is it possible for a person to ask his Rebbe what the Psak Halacha is, you see, and the Rebbe should hold one way and tell the Talmud to do the other way? See, how is it possible such a thing? Yeah, give me an example. Let's say, for instance, you make two brachas on Yitzvah only and make one bracha on Yitzvah. So it's possible that somebody should ask his Rebbe what he should do, and his Rebbe will tell, his Rebbe holds you make two brachas and he'll tell him you make one bracha. How's it possible? The answer is like this. There's an interesting rush. Rush in Menachos. The rush says in Menachos that he never really knew. It was big machlekes. Big machlekes. He'll make two brachas and he'll make one bracha. So the rush says he always made one bracha. Because he was mesupik. And suffik brachas lahakel. Says until he learned through the Sugi Menachos, and then he decided that it's right to make two brachas, so he makes two. See? So insofar as you're a mesupik, you see, it's very possible that it'll be suffik d'rabban l'kula. You know what I mean? Because you don't have the knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge, so suffik brachas is l'hakel. Actually, it's a chumra because you don't have that much shem shemayim l'vatala. Similarly over here, if it's a big machlekes over here, whether you're allowed to put on lights, you're not allowed to. Rav Meshul, you're not allowed to. Some of you are allowed to. It's true. Aruch HaShulchan gave that to you. You're allowed to. I'm not going to decide who's right or who's wrong. But insofar as you are mesupik, you see, so you'll tell me, okay, even if you're mesupik, it's suffered rabbanon. That's true. Suffered rabbanon. But it's still a kiyum if a person, even a suffered rabbanon, it's still a kiyum if a person's nizah from a suffered rabbanon, he tries to fall one of the shittas. And certainly there's no mitzvah to, you know what I mean, go the other way. So you can't say al-pidin that, it's usher. But certainly there is no reason to, let's say you have a suffered rabbanon, there's no reason to violate a suffered rabbanon when you don't have to. You know what I mean? Like for instance, by the nanuim, So you have the Rishon of say Hayyiman Aneya. Some are divorced from Aneya. So the Rush says, you do them all. Most Paskim say you do Lechumra. Why? Because what's the I Safed Rabbanon? Many of them hold Safed Rabbanon. The answer is, Machlois, Ramal's the Raisa. But Rush holds the Rabbanon. Still you do them all. Why do you do them all? Because it's an easy thing to do. It's an easy thing to do. So then you don't need Safed Rabbanon as a Matir. It's a Matir Safed Rabbanon. But when you don't need the Matir, you should definitely try to fulfill all the Shittas. So that's why I say that a person, if it's not necessary, something you can put on lights before, so you don't have to do it. You know what I mean? You don't have to put on lights in the Yantif. A person should try not to do it. Suffolk. Suffolk Darbonin. Darbonin, easy thing. You know, a person is stuck in a different case. In a different case, I mean, he's stuck, can't help himself. That's a different story. But, what? I don't know. Well, the goes of the category of standing, I don't know. Because a lot of people don't even know that it's usher. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people think that it's Mutta Bechlaw. It might be. I would certainly not do it in front of somebody that's... that case, I'd certainly not do it in front of somebody.
But in the house, something
like that. Not to do it in front of other people. Not to do it in front of other people. Somebody tell me that the decision is only if a person's on a level where he really understands. A person has a right to make his own decision, but it's only where he really understands the problems, the halachic problems involved. You can't just make your own decision based on ignorance. That's suffolk. If you're ignorant, so it's suffolk. So when what's the klal when it's suffolk? So suffolk deraisa is lechumra, suffolk drabbonon is lekula.
As long as
what? I said one bracha because I didn't know whether in tefillin you have to say two brachas or not. He says till I learned the sugya. The rush didn't learn the sugya. So when I learned the sugya, he got the menorah. Learned the sugya, decided I have to make two brachas. That's it. What? So if it's a machloikis achrayim in a deraisa, so you paskan lechumra in a drabbanon, you can go lekula. I want you to know one thing though: suffik drabbanon lekula. Do not walk away thinking that suffik deraisa lechumra. Of course, you can walk away thinking that it's lechumra. Nothing. But suffik drabbanon lekula is a very complicated thing. What exactly is a suffik drabbanon lekula is not so simple. It's tremendous shach on sfeikis. Tremendous. You have to know when and where. Certain times, you can't just, even that requires knowledge. You can't just go every Safed Rabbanon Lekula. Otherwise, you wipe out half the Shulchan Aruch. So, you have to know when. When the Safed Rabbanon, what type of Safed Rabbanon, the Chal Hashem, the Safek, and there are a lot of factors going through are involved in knowing what a Safed Rabbanon Lekula is. It's a general rule, but you have to know how the rule works. It takes a little knowledge to know how it works. Okay. Therefore, I wouldn't use it, unless you really know it. Right. But the thing is like this: if you have knowledge of the problems, then you have a right to decide. If you're a person, excuse me,
even
in the deraisa, not a suffolk anymore. That's right, even in the deraisa. Well, you see the rush. That's the rush. Even in the deraisa, if you have knowledge of the problems, you're on a level where you really can paskin the shilas. You have knowledge of the problems involved. Then you have a right to go. But you have to have knowledge. But if you don't have the knowledge, then it remains. Then you put in the category of suffolk. That's the way it works. That's what it works. But you have to have a full, and you have to know that you have a full knowledge of the area. You can't just say, I feel this way, I feel this one's right or that one's right. You have to have a clear-cut knowledge of the problems concerned, and then you could, Then you could do it. Okay? It doesn't say anywhere it's Nikra Shaita. It doesn't say it was Nikra Shaita. That was Gerstein's Gerson. So like this. Kol hecha de meshkachas trei tanoi utrei amaroi de pligi adodi kei machlekes b'sham b'shilu lo li'avet kikula demar v'chikula demar v'loi kechumre demar v'chichumre demar elo oi kikula demar kechumre avet oi kikula demar kechumre avet. That's what the Gemara says. Aysim mekula b'sham mekula b'shilu rak Russia mekula b'sham mekula b'shilu olav kasa mechsil b'chay shehelach. Achsil b'chay shechala. Yeah. Doesn't say. Okay, that's the Gemara. No, it says any machlokes. Kol heichad mishkacha straight tanoi etrei amaroi de pligi adodi kei machlokes b'sham b'shilu lo li'av kul demar kul demar. Just like it. Yeah, it's not the same thing as nikra shreita. It's a different thing. Achsil b'chay shechalech means since he doesn't know. So therefore, he has to go lechumra. You see, that's what it means. I mean, since he doesn't know, so he has to go lechumra. That's the pshat. But if he has knowledge of the area, so he's not b'chay shechalech anymore. Now he's going on the light, so now he could go. He could do travel the way he wants. That's the pshat. That's the pshat. That's the shining law. He could do what he wants if he has the knowledge. But if he doesn't have the knowledge, then he has to go l'chumra. If it's the raisa, he has to go l'chumra. That's it. Okay. That's what it amounts to. All right, the raisa, he has to go l'chumra. And if it's a drabbanon, then he could go l'chula in certain instances. Certain instances, yes. Same thing. He said the Reb Chaim did not hold that you're allowed to have kriyas atar simcha starva lebalayla nighttime. He says in his house, in his minyan, he had a private minyan, he wouldn't do it. He says, but when he went into the big in the city, he would go later to the city. It seems, or he was there first. I don't know which one, but over there, he himself would call out the aliyas. That's it. Most probably you don't change it. That's the same thing. I say, look, a Rav, really, see, what is a Rav, really? A Rav doesn't mean a person that you follow everything he does. That's not the pshat of Rav. That's really a Rebbe. Swedish Rebbe. That's why it doesn't say, I say, look, a Rebbe. I say, look, a Rav. See, a Rav is a person who opens up your mind to understanding. See, now a Rav, of course, you have to follow a Rav a certain amount. Because when, let's say, for instance, you take a person as a Rav. So you take a person as a Rav, and he tells you you're wrong in this, then if you're not going to follow him, then you're not going to benefit. Because if you have the knowledge that he has, so then you don't need him for a Rav. And if you don't have the knowledge that he has, so then you're going to have to rely on what he tells you at certain times, right? Correct? But the reliance is only insofar as you realize that you don't have the knowledge in the area, and he does. But it doesn't mean that you have to follow everything he always says, because you find that, for instance, Rabbi Yechina was the Rebbe of Rish Lakish. You have Machlekes Rabbi Yechina Rish Lakish all the time. You see? You have Machlekes Rav and Talmud. You have Machlekes Rav and Talmud many, many times in Shas. So a Rav doesn't really mean someone who you follow without any qualification. You follow whatever he says. That's not a Rav, really. Rav is a person that you respect because he has more knowledge than you in the area. But once, if you have the same amount of knowledge in the area as he does on a given point, then you're not mechuyav to follow what he says. You can argue with him. You see, Amoraim Atayim did that way. You see that you have as much knowledge in the area as he does, and you hold that he's wrong, he's doing wrong, you have a right to argue with him. You definitely have a right to when you don't know. But if you see the guy that's taking you over the cliff, you stop him. You let him go. What? I said, in Machlekes, you have Machlekes Tanoim and Machlekes Amoraim, we have Rav and Talmud. How come you don't find the Eskayes Tachasa? He said, he asked him why he doesn't know from his Rebbe. He says, why? I'll tell you why. Because would you ever argue with the Pesach that the Rebbe gave? Would anybody argue? Nah, can't argue. He says, nope. Rashi was a very big Talmud Chacham, and his grandson, Rebbe Natan, argued with him many times. You see, I'm sure he had a lot of respect for Rashi. But that's not respect anymore. See, that's already just an emotion. Rabbi Natan recognized the godliness of Rashi, but if he saw that Rashi was wrong, he went through the problems, and he held that Rashi was wrong, he didn't follow Rashi. There's no such thing. Then already becomes a, that's already a religious thing. Accept this person as a infallible creature. As a matter of fact, that borders on Avodah Zarah. Because the only one that's infallible is God. And you can't take any human being as being the ultimate. That's it. He doesn't make any mistakes. Whatever he says, I do. That's the denial of God. Human knowledge is fallible. That's where we are. We're fallible. Sanhedrin has to pass him by robe. That's the best we could do. But it's fallible. Koch tatera tov lo lashmena koch divrei amatir. Shu somech al shmu oso. Veina yore lahatir. Let's notice how the hetter, you have to have knowledge in the area. Aval koach osrin eina raya, shakol yichol lachma. Afilu b'davra mutter. That's right. That's Rashi. That's bezen. That's right. This is something which halacha differs than any other system. And halacha, like the question that Gerson just asked, he said, let's say, for instance, you're supposed to go l'chumra. And then let's say you have a big machlekes. Machlekes or Moshe and the Rav and a Deraisa. Machlekes. So let's say Moshe says it's Asa, the Rav says it's Mutter, let's say. So, reverse it. No, they always say Moshe is Mutter. So let's say that's the way it is, right? So meantime, it's a deraisa. You don't know. You're not on their level. You're not really into the problem. You don't really. You're not on a level where you can understand. You can fathom the depth of the machlokes, and you can't. You're not in a position to decide. So you're supposed to go lechumra, right? Then let's say for instance, you go lekula. Then let's say Rav Moshe changes his mind and says, I made a mistake. I say that you should go like the Rav's right. Go lekula, right? Let's say he says that. So were you away for an avera before or not?
Nope.
Yes, you are. Because in halacha, the important thing in halacha is not the actuality. The important thing is the system, not the actuality. I'll give you an example. See? The system's the important thing in halacha, not the actuality. For instance, many halachas we paskin on chazaka. Chazaka, cheskes kashrus. It might really be treif. It might really be osur. But there's a cheskes kashrus. Now let's say in reality you find out that all this time it was no good. All right, it's true, you can't do it anymore because now you have knowledge. You can't rely on chazaka when you have knowledge. But the important thing is not the actuality. The important thing is the system. Let's say, for instance, that's why one time somebody told me I paskin at a shiloh. This particular shiloh, paskin that is a mutter, was in regard to treifus. Treifus, paskin mutter, based on a psak halacha. So he said to me, and I let my kid eat it. So he said to me, he says, but you shouldn't let your son eat it. But anyways, even though pidin is mutter, he says, because his metamtim, treifus is metamtim as halev. Metamtim as halev. Says why? Because it actually does something physical to your soul. So I said that's impossible. Why? Because the Gemara says that if there are 9 butcher stores that sell basar shchuta, and there's 1 butcher shop that sells basar trefa, and you find a piece of meat that came from along the road, you know, it came from one of the 10, so you're allowed to eat it because you go basar roiv. You say you're allowed to eat it. Rice and rabbanon completely mutter. But if there was a question of Matamta Mesalev, so how are you allowed to eat it? Maybe it's treif, maybe it's chazan. So the answer is, in halacha, the important thing is not the actuality of whether you're really eating. That's not important. What we're really doing, nobody knows. I mean, we don't know. I mean, there's been many machlekes and all the way down the line. Who knows whether we're really keeping many halachas, individual halachas, exactly the way Moshe Rabbeinu did it. I don't know. You know, machlekes film this, that, other things. You know, could anyone be certain today whether he puts on film exactly the way Moshe Rabbeinu put on? If all the machlekes tanoim and arayim, 64 different ways, the Goyim says, and then putting on film, whether we do it the way right now, the way Moshe Rabbeinu did it, it'd be pretty good if a person could know that. But that's not important. That's not important anymore. The important thing is the halachic system. As long as we keep the system, and the system was given down, when God created the system, when He gave us the system was not to put on tefillin the way He told Moshe Rabbeinu to put on tefillin, but if there's a machlekes in tefillin, you follow the rav, even if it's not the way Moshe Rabbeinu did it. We don't know how He did it. 64 machlekes, and you'll never know how He did it. But the important thing is to follow the system. That's the important thing. It's not a question whether you ate a real piece of chaz or not. The question is whether halachically it was treif or not. That's the question. If halachically it's treif, you're not allowed to eat it. And if halachically it's mutter, then you're allowed to eat it. And if you don't eat it, you're a shaita. Even though it might really, in reality, it might really be chazer. But that's a shaita, because the only thing that God wants us to do is to keep the system of halacha, not the real reality. There's nothing really bad about a pig. Pig isn't really a bad animal. If you eat a pig, it's not going to make any difference whether you eat this meat or that meat. It doesn't make any difference on your soul. The only difference that is made is if you break the system. That's bad. But the actuality of it is not really bad. Otherwise, you wouldn't have any halachic system. So it doesn't matter. The ultimate, that's the way a person, a Talmud Chacham, a person that knows halacha, should live that way. I say many times, like people say, well, I won't do this because maybe really this way. That's crazy. What does the halachic system say? That's the way you do it? That's how Allah decides that way? That's the way you're supposed to do it. Whether it really, really is the way, there's no such thing as really, really. The thing is the halachic system. That's the only reality that we live with. Halachic system. What do you mean exactly? That's right. That's right. Exactly right. That's right. That's what it was. That's unusual. Yeah, this is the only system like that. In other areas, other religions, they want to try to get down to the real thing. This is the reality. The reality of the halachic system. Psak, that's where it's mutter. You could be eating a piece of chazer. Enjoy it. Eat it. Afidin. You're not getting another chance. I think that will affect his present state because of the way he lived before, even though he wasn't violating an Issa, right? That's why I see the Gemara over there. Gemara wants to show that it affects his present state even though he wasn't violating an Issa then, but it's going to have some effect on him now. That's what's possible. Shema, you don't care if you mivachav negat sifra shema, because once the halacha is eidecha nem bisurin, that's tzitzis, that's the bracha, that's the mitzvah, and that's it. You have to worry about it. Okay? That's what the halacha tells you to do. Maybe this guy was drunk when he made the tzitzis and he wasn't able to mivachav negat shema. That's not your problem. You're keeping the halacha. That's it. The halacha is only insofar as the system's concerned. There's no real reality of whether you're actually putting on, maybe your tefillin were made l'shema, maybe you have no bottom inside there, or maybe you have no parsha inside your bottom. You don't know? You didn't check them? You didn't check them? What? What? That's right. L'shema. No real reality of the physical components of the system. I think, because when you're young, you tend to think in terms of the real reality. The real reality is not the physical reality. The real reality that we're concerned with is this halachic system. That's what we should be concerned with. Nothing else. That's it. That's the halachic system. Only we're not interested in the real physical reality. It's the halachic reality. That's what it should be attached to. That's Yahadis. Yahadis is different than any other religion. The action is to keep the halacha. That's the good action. To keep the halacha. That's the action. Keep the system. Think through the halacha. What am I supposed to do now? This way, that way. That's the purpose of it. So, like you said, the means. Rambam says the reason why the animals that were chosen and that are non-kosher is the main reason. It says to teach a person restraint. A person should be able to overcome his physical desires. Now he says, Rambam says. He says, now why did God choose those animals over other animals? Why did he choose certain animals as a kosher and certain ones as a... Not because he didn't like the other animals, but because he says that the simonim that he gave are the simonim that prevail in most of the domestic animals. So therefore, it's easy for a person to raise cattle and to have what he needs. He's not inconvenienced, because the split off and chewing the cud is mostly domestic. But it's not necessary, it's not essential for your existence to indulge, you see? So therefore, the Rambam says that that's the reason why God chose those animals. Then he said these animals are kosher and the other ones are, because if it would have been the other way around, it would be very difficult. If you were able to eat bear and lion and tiger, it would be very hard. You weren't allowed to eat the ones with the split off and chew the cud, you'd really be inconvenienced. God didn't want you to be inconvenienced. He wanted you to be able to exercise restraint. You know what I mean? And also to make it easy, a person should be able to live. You want to make a person spend his whole life trying to get food? Be crazy. See? Right. What's in one of them? Right. In the halakhic system, it's not going to be a break in restraint. It's not going to be a breach in his restraint. You understand, Gerstein? It's not going to be a breach in his restraint. Now we're talking philosophically, not talking halakhically anymore. Point to halakha, nobody can deny. That's the way it is. Halakhically, there's no question about it. A person doesn't go with a rave is not bikaris. Never mind the tzaddik. He's not bikaris. His person, if it's rave, says it's mutter, and he doesn't go bus a rave, it's not bikaris. Not from kairis, not even the area of machra. So you see that God doesn't care for you, the specific physical action is done. The important thing is, you want to understand it philosophically, you can understand it in this case very well. Because the importance philosophically is to exercise restraint. Now if halacha says it's mutter in this case, certainly he exercised restraint. The restraint was done because he wouldn't just go and eat it. He worked it out and he thought according to the system what is now, it's mutter, now he's allowed to eat it. But not inherently to something evil in physically eating a pig. It's an idiocy. See, an halacha doesn't work out. Halacha is against it. Unless, like Pesach, for instance, some people don't eat at other people's houses, that's already a different story. If you don't trust the guy for what you do, then you're wrong. In other words, let's say, for instance, you are nizer in eating shmur matzah. And the guy brings out a matzah, he sells a shmur matzah. So I don't believe him. That's already, then you're already covering the whole system of Torah. Because it's Eidech and Nembisurin, you have no right. What do you mean? Who are you to doubt a guy? You mean, Moshe Rabbeinu would eat from this. He wouldn't eat, you're not going to eat this. So that's not from God, that's Shtus. That's Shtus. But if you do certain things that he doesn't do, so now you have a right to do. A person says, I want to machmir in an area. I'm not machliyev to say, look, I myself, a few years ago I started to eat, I eat Shmur Matzah all Pesach. So I eat Shmur Matzah, Rambam Shita. Not so hard for me to do, I don't mind it. So I eat Shmur Matzah all Pesach. Okay. So therefore, I might not even in another person's house. Not because I hold that he's violating an iser. He doesn't have to do it. Every chumra that the person accepts, everybody else has to do. But if I don't believe him when he tells me that this is real, this has, let's say he gives me something, gives me gefilte fish, and he says there's no matzah meal in it, I don't believe him, then that's already shaita. But if I believe him, I believe in what he says. But the only thing is that I want to do something more. I'm not mechuyif to do as little as he does. He's not mechuyif to do as much as I do. So the individual can decide in certain areas of chumras. The person can be knowing the way he wants to. The person wants to be machmer or machmer. So there, I'd say, is a reason that some people might not want to eat in somebody else's house on Pesach. But just, I'm not eating somebody else's house. I'm crazy. Well, you don't believe him? He's not a good idea. He can throw away the whole Torah. You don't know where you got the matzah from. You don't know where you got it. Nothing. Surim that people don't know about, and that already is something which it's not the pshat. If you don't want to eat in their house, if you don't want to be involved, you know, in something they might be doing wrong that might affect you, that already is a different question. It's not a question of like tefilas kelim, for instance. Tefilas kelim is something that a lot of people don't know. I mean, I know guys who are musmachim in this community, musmachim, who did not warrant tefilas kelim. Tefilas kelim, according to most, is the raisa. Question: Ram's lashon is mashmer darbonin, but according to the derisa, darbonin anyways. I mean, the same chiyuv. But a lot of people just don't know that you have to be tevel kelim. So they're ready. They don't know it. They don't know about it. They don't know that you have to be that when you buy a kli from a guy, you have to be tevel kli. So they don't know this halacha. So then already, it's not, you're not a fool to be machman. On the contrary, you should be, because since you know that people generally don't know this halacha, and then or bishlakim is also a very little known halacha. People go to a restaurant; all they want to know if it's kosher or not. But besides kosher, there's bishlakim's usa, bishlakim's treif. Bishlakim's treif. So if a goy was the sole one that cooked it, that prepared the meal, you're not allowed to eat from it. So you have to know. That's why I used to go, there was a certain...
Pashit, shekosven ala mezuzah mibachutz, keneged harevach, shebein parsha leparsha, shedai, shindal yud. Vein bazeh hechzed, mefi shehu mibachutz. So that's why, that's the minute they write... Shin Dalad Yud is one of God's names. Shaddai. What it stands for is Fibshatim. Some say, I think Ram says that he doesn't need it. He doesn't need anything. Ram says he doesn't require it. Shaddai. He doesn't need anything. The Chazal says Shi'ama Lo Elam Dai. Whatever it is. Vein Bezehesel Fishu Mibuchutz. Aval Ela Shekeshim Mibufnim. Shema Is Hamalochem. Those who write the names of the malachim, ay shemais kedoshim, ay pasuk, ay chesamais, harehim bechlal mi she'en lehem chelek lelam haba. If you write the names of the malachim on the inside of the mezuzah, names of malachim, and there were people that did it, he says ein lehem chelek lelam haba. Why? What's so wrong? I mean, apparently the Rambam says ein lehem chelek lelam haba doesn't mean that it wasn't yotzei mitzvah mezuzah. A lot of ways the person's not Yetzir Mitzvah Mezuzah. Just because the person isn't Yetzir Mitzvah Mezuzah doesn't mean that it's Ein Lechel Olam Haba. You know what I mean? The person didn't fulfill... Let me explain to some of the fellows in the back. You don't understand what I'm talking about, do you? This person has no part of the world to come, which means that because he writes the names of the angels on the inside of a mezuzah, so he has no part in the world to come. The question is why? I mean, just because a person... Let's say a person didn't fulfill mezuzah. Doesn't say Ein Lechel Olam Haba. Right? He says, She'elu atipshim, the Rambam says. These fools. Loi dai lahem shebitlu ha-mitzvah. Not enough that they'll mevatel a mitzvah. That would be bad enough. Ela she'asu mitzvah gedayla. They took a great mitzvah. She'hi yichud Hashem, yichud Hashem shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the mitzvah really, the ideas in the mezuzah are yichud shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'ahavasai. Love of God. Va'avaydasai. Right, worship. Ki'ilu hu kimiya shel hanoyas atzman. They made this mitzvah, which has great important concepts, ideas that are of the utmost importance, they made it into an amulet. You know what an amulet is?
A charm.
Yeah, a good luck charm. So they made it into a good luck charm. That's what kimiya means. Kimiya means an amulet, a good luck charm. Kimiya, right? You heard the term before?
Huh?
You heard the term before?
No, that's what I
say. Like their foolish hearts divine. Shezehu dovo hamahane bahavle ha'olam. Because they thought that this mezuzah is something which will benefit them in a physical sense. Havle ha'olam. and the nonsensical benefits of the times. She means physical benefits, that's what it means. Okay, that's the Rama. Now, of course, the Kesef Mishnah is a kasha because it does say, the Gemara does say, there is a Gemara that says, it says, that it's watching, should protect him. So it seems to be against what the Rambam says.
Okay.
But before we go any further, I want to define what's the difference between an amulet and between a what does an amulet mean? I mean, we all do mitzvahs. We believe that God will benefit us, right? We think there's such a thing as matan star, right? So why isn't that? So why? What's the difference between that and between an amulet?
Because an amulet,
he's saying, is in shalom. Wow, that's what Rambam says. Ein lechel olam haba. Ein lechel olam haba is because
the whole idea about God.
Yeah, the whole idea about God is wrong. They have an avodah zarah concept. You see, it's an avodah zarah concept that there's a certain power. That's avodah zarah, to believe that any object in the world has power, specific power besides God. That's avodah zarah. There's nothing in the world that has any power. It's only, it's all b'shusha shemakan, everything shusha shemakan. But no object, and certainly not an object of mitzvah, which is meant, on the contrary, to give you the ideas, the true ideas of God, the yichud Hashem. You know that Hashem is one. There's no plurality in God. He's not made up of components. He's not a composite. Very important concept in Yadis. Basic concept. Then avas Hashem and avodas Hashem. Whole life, the whole lifestyle. Those are important things. These are real benefits. These are real benefits. And he takes this and he converts it into an amulet, which means that he's just instead of changing the direction of all his desires to a higher sphere, he's taking something which really isn't a higher sphere and he's bringing it down to a mundane sphere for his own little worries. Take care of it, protect him. You see, this the Rambam says is Ein lechel olam haba, because on the contrary, he's taking something which is supposed to bring a person to a higher spheres, and he's using it. He's using that also for his lower base emotions. What? Scary. It makes him lower. This thing makes him one step lower than the average person, because now he has something else which he can use for his physical desires. You know what I mean? That's what the Rambam says. What? Right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Exactly. That's swastika. I don't know if that's what they use it for. I think they use it just to demonstrate this demonstration against the Jews. Yeah. Hatred symbol. That's what the Rambam says. You see? So you see from the Rambam, now what is an amulet? An amulet means something which has power per se. And that is really kfira, to maintain that there's something that has power besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See? That's why it's a danger. That's what the danger is. Okay? Yeah. As a matter of fact, David Leibowitz was a Rashiv of Chafetz Chaim, he's the founder of Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva. He would never kiss the mezuzah. So one time I asked him why he doesn't do it. So the reason why he doesn't do it is because he thinks it's a bad thing that people kiss the mezuzah, because they tend to feel that there's some power there. You know, many people who do that. Like this thing has a certain power. You know, so he was against that. He didn't want people to. That was a bad idea.
Okay, so
yeah. What's wrong with doing it? It depends why you do it. So the real reason you're supposed to do it is to demonstrate that you love mitzvahs. That mitzvahs are something which benefit you. So therefore, a person should love that which benefits him. That's the whole idea of chibur mitzvah. But unfortunately, many times it becomes like a superstition. So like they feel, oh, this thing has power. The mitzvah has power. Many people do believe that. That's what the Rambam says. This is a avodah zarah. This is a terrible thing. You're taking a mitzvah gedola and you're reducing it to the level of as a means for your own physical good. It's like an avodah zarah. Okay. That's what Rambam says. Ein lechel olam haba. Right. So the question is now. The question is like this. I one time heard a story of some people. Somebody was sick for a couple of weeks, and somebody said that you should check the mezuzahs. Maybe there was something wrong with the mezuzah. And they checked the mezuzah, and kachava. There's something wrong with the mezuzah. Now the question is, how would, in the light of the Rambam, how would you would say that it's all right? Maybe that's different, maybe it's not. In other words, can a person feel that an illness or a particular event can be attributed to the fact that his mezuzah is It's possible.
They said the same thing by Malak.
Well, when the Gemara says, that a mezuzah watches you, the only thing it means it watches you is asiyas and mitzvah. Not just mezuzah, asiyas mitzvah. The person does, has the concepts of mezuzah, raised to a higher level, and therefore he's under the hashgacha, but directly through Hashem. But not that there's a specific thing in the mezuzah itself, some power in the mezuzah itself. And to say that a person died because the mezuzah was puzzle is a very difficult thing to say. If you say that it was nenash because he didn't keep the mitzvahs, mezuzah kilchasai, okay, that's if he didn't keep a kilchasai. But let's say, for instance, he put the mezuzah on, he checked it out, it was right, and somehow an ice fell off. If you're going to say that this affects him, that's already kavira. Because then what you're saying is that somehow there's a power in the mezuzah. And once that ice is missing, then that power of the thing, the object, is gone. So you're maintaining the object has a certain power. That's really what the Rambam says. That's really kvira. You see? If you're not always going to be a shmir for the bias, then it's kvira. That's what I'm saying. According to you, the only thing that was wrong was because they put in the shemus on the lochem. But otherwise, so he should have said. Why is it difficult? The guy puts shemus on the lochem on the door. You see? Put shemus on the lochem. No, it's not okay. The man is still the same fool. He's the same fool the Rambam indicates. But the only thing is that he didn't take a mitzvah and he wasn't ma'abed a mitzvah. In other words, the Rambam's trying to say that it's not enough over here with the guy. Of course, the guy believes in these crazy ideas. There's no question about that. But the point is, the man is taking a mitzvah, and he's degrading the mitzvah. He's making the mitzvah into a kameya. That's only if you put it on the inside. Put it on the outside, you didn't do anything to the mitzvah. It's extraneous. You know what I mean? You put it on the inside, so you took a mitzvah, and you made the worst of errors to take a chefter shel kedusha, and to make it into a kameya. You see? That's why it's only on the inside. On the outside, it's the same fool. Believe me, the Rambam wouldn't say he's any more intelligent if he does it on the outside. You give him the same thing. But the only thing is that he didn't do this act. This is the degrading act he didn't do. So it's like the rabbi was like a horror of what he did, what the man did. You know what I mean? The atrocity is that he took a chefter shel mitzvah, a chefter kedusha, which has concepts, and he converted it into something which is a kameya. Yes. What's that? Why you tell me the guy the person died because he wasn't nizhar mezuzah? That's a possibility. But only through Hashgacha Hashem. But not if a person was nizhar, definitely the guy is not going to it's not going to make any difference. What happens inside the paper is not going to make any difference. What? If paper is any different than any other piece of paper, immediately saying it's a kameya. That's what a kameya is. A kameya means that this object has powers. Yeah. That's what a kameya is. Right.
Was he wearing tefillin?
Was he wearing tefillin? Let's say he wasn't wearing tefillin. So what?
So then he doesn't have a mitzvah.
A Jew because of that.
I think he was
Mevatel Mitzvah.
He was
Mevatel
Mitzvah?
Let me ask you a question. That this person will have a lesser chel in Olam Haba? A person, let's say for instance, well, you have a case like that. You actually have a case like that. The Rambam says that the Rambam was putting on Rabbeinu Tam's throne for many years. And then he changed his mind. Because the Rambam was another Gadol, of course.
What
happened to him? And he threw away his tefillin. Where's the Rambam? Get the Rambam again. Changed his mind about tefillin. The Rambam first had Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. He changed his mind. He said, Mr. Meisha Barmaim is another person, exact same name as the Rambam. But this person, he says, the Rambam says, he was the one that caused me to make a mistake because I relied on his psak. He said, a lot of times, even like the Rambam writes in one of his letters, it says, the reason why he had a lot of trouble in this chibur, they asked a lot of kashas on him, because he relied too much on the riff, he said. But the point is that the... that it is fault. But the Rambam says that he saw that the Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin were wrong, and in the middle, and after many years, he changed his mind, he didn't put on those tefillin anymore. You're going to tell me that the Rambam is any lesser. So it comes out, according to the Rambam, that Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin are wrong, right? So it comes out, you're going to tell me that the Rambam has less of a chelek in Olam Haba because he didn't put on tefillin for 5 years. You can't be right. So you're going to tell me that less of a chelek in Olam Haba because he didn't put on tefillin for 20 years, he put on the wrong tefillin? What do you say? I wouldn't say he has less of a chelek in Olam Haba. As a matter of fact, it's a letter in the Rambam. One of the letters in the Rambam is where the Rambam says that he writes about the people that argue on him. He had a lot of criticism in his day. For his philosophy, for his lot of things that they criticize on him. Naturally, I think it was really started from philosophy. Once it started there, they started criticizing everything. So he says that they say that I'm wrong in my psak. Well, I've psak him, they say I'm wrong on. Around the sheikh like this. Interesting letter. He says, first of all, he says, whenever, I never maintain I didn't make any mistakes. He says, and if somebody shows me I make a mistake, I made a mistake, I'm happy to hear it. He says, and I change immediately. As a matter of fact, there is one in Hilchos Tzitzis where they wrote the Rambam, the Raivis Kasher. They didn't write it was the Raivis, but they wrote in the same Kasher. The Rambam says, you're right, I made a mistake, change it. That's it. As a matter of fact, he says, I looked over my notes and it says exactly wrong. He says, I'm not, he didn't protect himself that he was mistaken the copy. He says, well, that's why I wrote it, I was wrong, changed my mind. So Ram says, but even if they are right that I am wrong in Psak, he says that only makes a difference in Elam Haza. Elam Haba doesn't make any difference. So this is open up. What? No. He means like this. He means that only makes it, in other words, in terms of Elam Haba, if a person follows, a person is a gadol, and he follows his reason insofar as he can, even though he makes a mistake, it's not going to make any difference in Elam Haba. Because that's what he's supposed to do. Are you going to tell me that if somebody gives somebody a pair of film that has comic strips inside, right? And he doesn't know, and he does the mitzvah all his life, and you find that in the end of that comic strips, you're going to tell me there's less of hell and all above? And that doesn't make any sense to me. And that doesn't make any sense to you. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why should you have less of hell and all above? What? When you say, a CSM mitzvah, a person gets harmful. It affects the person. It definitely has to be a CSM mitzvah in terms, if he does the mitzvah, kill chasei. Now, a person has a chazaka. If that's the case, many things we lose out. In other words, let's say, for instance, Sefer Torah. It's chazakas. Many things in Torah depend upon chazakas. So you have a chazaka, you have a right to, you assume, not have a right to, but you're supposed to assume that it's kasher. A person is a mochzik that he sells your pair of tefillin, that it's kasher. Now, you're not mochiyev to go to investigate the tefillin. As a matter of fact, if you do, you're tippish. Now, why should that be? Maybe it's from the comic strips. There's still a possibility. Chazaka is 90%, right? The only thing is 100% is what you see with your eyes, right? Even that's questionable sometimes. But anyways, so according to this, we should do away with all the chazakas. A person sells his phone, shouldn't rely on his chazaka. Should go take a look inside, check. Because the mitzvah itself will affect me in a certain way, and if I don't have that, I won't have that effect, right? And apparently there's no such thing as yahadis. I never heard of a merchant not relying on chazakas. Why not? Because that's the halacha is that you're supposed to go. The whole benefit of the system of halacha is to go exactly according to what halacha tells you to do. It's not. We spoke about the last time. Really, it's not the real reality of the of what happens. It's the halachic reality. The halachic reality says rely on chazaka. You rely on chazaka. You put on those tefillin. I don't care if they're counter strips. That's it. You have the scarf, Mr. Tefillin. That's all. That's good according to halacha. Nine butcher shops. Nine of them sell basa shkuta, and one of them sells basa nevela. And you find a piece of meat, and you don't know from which one it came. Right? What's the halacha? You eat it. Is there any issue in eating it?
No.
Now, 1 out of 10, and I'll give you a better thing. Midaraisa is chai betray. So it's 2 to 1, right? So 2 to 1. Now, 2 to 1, there's a good chance if you do that 5 times in a row, I'm pretty sure you're going to eat chazer. Right? You're pretty sure. I mean, according to the law of averages, do it 100 times, definitely going to, right? Are you going to have any defect in you? If you're going to have a defect in you, then chazal say you should do it. Because no one says not to do it. As a matter of fact, anyone that's machmer, that is an idiot. There's no halacha like that. So apparently there's nothing physical, there's no physical effect of the piece of chazer. It's the only effect is if you don't go halacha, that's the effect. The idea of yahadis is you're supposed to follow halacha. What does halacha say? Halacha says you should eat it. On the contrary, it says, what does Gemara say? Gemara says, yigir kapach kisecho, ashrech v'tayloch. Gemara says, what does it mean? Yigir kapach kisecho. Means a person works in the shaila, and he doesn't know whether it's chafe or not, and he works up and back in the sugi, and he finds out it's kasher, giyik apach kisecha, lashrecha v'tevlach, lashrecha v'alamazah, v'tevlach v'alabah. In other words, according to the psak, according to the final conclusion, is kasher, so the Gemara says, lashrecha v'tevlach. It's good in this world, good in the next world, both. On the contrary, it's good for you. Lashrecha v'tevlach. Look at the sugi, you learn. That's all about it. Now he doesn't understand the concepts in the mezuzah, and he lives according to those concepts. That's how it benefits him. That's right. Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
But it does benefit him.
Benefit.
As far as he's following God's way.
And once he is on that level, he's mekayim the mitzvah kol chasa. Then Hashem, then he's on a different level. On that level, Hashem gives the person his hashgacha, and it's true he's protected, but not the way. Not like a kamiya protects. It's a different thing. Protects because he's under hashgacha Hashem. That's a protection. It's a different thing. Same thing like saying, just like the same thing, what's it going to say? Gemara says, V'chi nachash meimis and nachash machaya. The Gemara says, the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Saita, right? In Saita, Mishnah, in Saita, right? It's in Brachas? That's not the Mishnah. Moshe picked up his hands and Klal Yisrael was saved. The hands of V'chi yelish shel Moshe, Eisus Mechama. The Gemara asks, V'chi nachash meimis, V'chi nachash machaya. And nachash machaya, you're going to tell me they looked at the nachash, that's what really saved them? That's what the Gemara says. What's the Gemara saying? It's the exact same thing as the Rambam saying. To believe that there's a nechash nechashis, that there's a power in that nechash nechashis, that's kfirah. There's no power in nechash nechashis. The power is not Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the nechash nechashis, or the yad of Shomayisha, is something which raises a person to a higher level where he reaches God. Then he's under the Ashgacha, so the Ashgacha saves him. It has nothing to do with it. There's no power in anything. That nechash nechashis isn't worth anything more than any other nechash nechashis. Nothing is nothing in there. If you checked it out chemically, if you checked it out physically, you'll find that there's nothing there in that nechash nechashus any more than any other piece of nechashus. Superstition. There's a superstitious tendency in man. And the Rambam says, and the Rambam says in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, is the whole purpose of the Torah was to be mighty a person from all these ideas. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu says you shouldn't go to Oveis and Yedainim. You shouldn't go to all these כל המאמן בדבר מהאל כי יש בהם מחשב בלי בשהין אנס ודבר חכמה אבל התרא סרסן אין און אלא מן השכלם ומחיסרי הדעס בכלל אנושים וקטנים שאין דעתן שלמה אבל it's a good thing wife isn't it אבל בעלי החכמה ותמימי הדעס ידעו ברעיס ברורס שכל אלו הדברים שעושר תרא אין הם דברי חכמה אלא תויו והבא nonsense שנמשו בהן חיסרי הדעס ונוצו כל דרכי האמס בגלון נזה אמר תרא כשזירה כל אלו הוולם Tamim tia imad Hashem lekecha. That's what it means. You should only worry about one thing. There's only one force here. Only one force is God. That's it. Nothing else has any powers. I turn around, okay? An important thing in Yiddish. It's a hard thing because a lot of people, I know, as a matter of fact, I just said recently about certain people, they worry about Ayin Hara. All right, Ayin Hara really is, I'm not saying that the Ram does not have Ayin Hara, but you have to understand what an Ayin Hara is, how it works. But the thing is that what do? They want these people, they like to dress very nicely. It's family, they like to dress very nicely. Now, of course, they like to dress nicely, but then they're worried about Ayin Hara. So what do? On their undergarments, the family, on the undergarments, they wear red, bandals, you know? Right, little red strips of, if they're so worried about it, don't show off like that. No, but they want to show off. Oh, they show off. Oh, but they say, "Where the little red man went?" That takes care of it. This is the same type of nonsense.
They're afraid.
Guess what I want to say? The Gemara says, "Asul la'adam lamay b'sodah shachaver b'sodah shem menes b'kamei zeh." A person is not supposed to try to evaluate the financial status of his family. Not allowed to do that. That's right. Rav wants to mention. Not allowed to look at another guy's bank book. I want to do it. Let's see in somebody's house and his bank book is saying, look at it. Oh. Why? The basic reason is because this leads to kinna, leads to envy, and envy usually leads to sinna and actions which destroy the person.
But why is it
it's not a good decha. When there's a good chazal, it says when Alexander the Great met the Chachmei Yisrael, he asked them, he said, how should a person live? What's the best way the person should have a good life? So they said, Yachtin es atzmai. That's what they said. It's all Alexander the Great. I mean, it sounds, Yachtin es atzmai. It's all.
What's
Yachtin? Make himself small. Cotton.
Cotton.
Make himself small. Because the moment the person raises himself up over his fellow men tend to have a hatred towards this, and they try to destroy him. See? And many times it's successful. Many times it's successful. That's right. That's what the Ram says. A person shouldn't be concerned about any of these things. Okay. And it had to be specific. Because it says those who have ESP, it's not always right. The specifics, they never get right. It's true. They get, close,
general.
But yeah, general. That's why Navi, it wasn't good enough. Navi gave general a general prediction. It wasn't good. It had to be very specific. So you know it's not ESP. Because ESP is nothing. ESP could be, there are plenty of people who are shaken by ESP. You know, I mean, there's nothing to do it. First, rational proof as in mathematical sciences. Secondly, the perception by one of the five senses, for instance, the judgment of color by one's eyes, taste by the tongue, touch to distinguish between hot and cold, hearing between clear and confused sounds, and smell between that which is distasteful or pleasant, and thirdly, tradition, derived from the prophets and the righteous. Three ways to get nothing, okay? Knowledge. What's under the first one? Nevi'im. It is accordingly incumbent upon every wise person to investigate his doctrinal beliefs and classify them according to one of the three basic sources which they are drawn from, namely tradition, sensation, or rational insights. One, however, who grounds his belief in any other but one of those guiding principles, Scripture refers to him as the simple believeth every word. Pesiyam al-Khaldala. Moreover, you should know that some misguided people wrote thousands of books on the subject, and many ignorant people wasted their precious years poring over them, mistaking vanity for knowledge and ascribing consummate wisdom to their authors. There seems to be a fatal disease and abysmal mischief among most people, with the exception of a select, divinely inspired remnant, to the effect that whatever is found in books is instantly acceptable as truth, especially if the books are ancient.
the older the better.
The impulsive reader immediately construes them to be works of wisdom, for the reason that the pen never belies its author, nor does one engage in the art of writing in vain. However, this kind of involvement is in false astrological works, whose notions are essentially pagan, led to the loss of our kingdom and the destruction of our holy temple, and extended the duration of the exile to the present day. You know what I'm saying? Cool, huh? Our ancestors sinned and disappeared, for as we explained, they strayed after false notions, ascribing to them purposeful ends, while neglecting the arts of martial defense and government. It means they relied on certain astrological predictions that they're going to win certain wars, instead of they neglected the
training the soldiers.
Training the soldiers. Yeah. No wonder the prophets referred to them as ignorant and foolish. They were surely correct in this, for they pursued vain things which cannot profit nor deliver because they are vain. Shmuel. What? Extensively. My early training included knowledge derived from the movement of the stars, such as predictions regarding impending international and national events or the well-being of an individual person. I also read extensively about all pagan practices. There was not a single book translated into Arabic on the subject that I have not studied and investigated in depth. As a matter of fact, from these works I derived the rationale for all the mitzvahs, in contradistinction to those who maintain that mitzvahs are just dogmatic decrees and have no deeper meaning. I have written a large work on the subject in Arabic, expounded upon every mitzvah, but this is not my intention here. Let me therefore return to the subject you inquired about. You should realize that all the assumptions of the astrologers with regard to the forecasting of impending events or the determination of one's destiny by the constellation at the time of one's birth are irrational superstitions devoid of any scientific basis. I have clear, flawless proofs invalidating their essential theories. For one thing, we should take note of the fact that none of the Greek thinkers, who are surely authentic scientists, ever engaged in such notions or wrote any treatises on the subject. That's what he says. Science, as did the Chaldeans, Egyptians, and Canaanites, who even regarded it as a fundamental doctrine of their religion. The Greek philosophers, who are involved in almost all scholarly disciplines, utterly repudiated these notions, root, branch, and all. Also, the Persian scholars regarded the astro-deterministic concepts of the Chaldeans, Egyptians, and Canaanites as deptions. He's right, the Egyptians, all that, those whole things. So the Ram, all these things that the Chazal said, the Egyptians use these things, the Rambam says it's lignai. Lignai. A person could have a sense that he's not aware about how the sense works. Like, there could be some of them had certain, a very good in extrasensory perception. They ascribed it to the, they projected onto these things. Doesn't mean that it really came from these things. They think it came from these things. That's what they thought. But not in reality it came from these things. No, it's nothing.
You see,
so what? But they made a whole thing out of it. They thought it was because of these things. That really doesn't do with these things.
The Torah said that Joseph...
First of all, anyone that understands how the constellations work would know that that's nonsense. Because the constellations don't move around the sky. It's the Earth is revolving on its axis and going around in orbit. And the only reason that why you constantly see the planets going through the constellations is because all the planets are on one plane. It has nothing to do with the sky over there. The sky stands still. You tell me that the way the Earth revolves around is going to make a difference. The guy's born, he could see the... The person's born when he's on this side of the... when the Earth is in this part of the orbit. And he can't see the constellation because it's being blocked down because he's on the wrong side of the Earth. You tell me that's going to make a difference in his life. I mean, it doesn't make a difference. It's not nonsense. Here. It should be... What? You see that this is they believe this has powers. We know the stars are nothing more than gas, and the planets are made out of rock, and it's only it's all the Maaseh de Hashem. That's all it is. But it's not. There's no powers in these things. Yes.
This is a question back this morning.
Yes. Respect an individual is his tzelem elokim. As far as an individual can be a great creature, but you don't respect the foolish nonsense that he says. You see, if that's the case, then you have to respect the Nazis for their ideas too. There's also human beings. We respect a human being is his potential for greatness, but not his potential for doing evil. That we don't respect. On the contrary, we look down at that. Yes. It should be pointed out in this connection that the reason we do not believe the proponents of this theory is not simply because their concepts lack sufficient evidence for validation, but rather because we possess such clear and flawless proofs to the contrary that their notions are utterly repudiated. It is therefore incumbent upon us not to accept their beliefs, which only a simpleton who believes anything or the person who wishes to deceive others adheres to. We should now have my masters that there is an authentic wisdom concerning the celestial bodies which consists in knowing the form of the spheres, their number, measurement, the course of their movement, astronomy. Okay, right. Now, fine. Now let's see. It's possible to find some individual opinions of our sages in the Talmud, the Mishnah, and Midrashim supporting astrological assumptions about the potency of the stars about the potency of the stars at a man nativity. Okay?
Man
nativity.
Should be man's nativity, right?
Disturbing to you. Inasmuch as we must never abandon practical halacha for the sake of upholding dialectical arguments. Moreover, it is not feasible to surrender demonstrative rational knowledge and embrace the opinion of one individual sage who might have missed a crucial point at that time, or he may have preferred an allegorical remark, not to be taken literally, or that his statement was meant as a temporary measure referring to a specific incident. For it is not apparent that many statements of the Torah cannot be taken literally, but, as is clear from scientific evidence, require interpretation that will make them acceptable to rational thought. Our eyes are set in the front and not in the back. One should therefore look ahead of him and not behind him. I have thus revealed to you with these words my whole heart. That's the wrong one. The Hebrew is much better than this.
Isn't there a piece in there about
the theory? Something is true. He says, it's not the derech to go be machapes in Midrashim. He says, because Midrashim, first of all, can be taken allegorically. You have to know what they mean. Understand. He says, not the derech when a person knows that something is true to go to be machapes in Midrashim about this thing, about this phenomenon.
In other words, more about
it. Yeah, no, to go see whether it's true or not. If you know that it's true, proven true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that is, he says that in other words, if you know that if something is so, proven, then forget about the Midrashim. Because Midrashim can be interpreted many times allegorically. You have to understand the key how to interpret a Midrash. That's why you're quoting from Rashi is a Midrash. Because Rashi is the quote from Midrashim over that.
It's a Midrash. Right.
Yeah, which Midrash is it?
It's
a Midrash. In fact, the Rambam Shita in the Pirush Mishnayos in Sanhedrin, he says like this. He says that the funny thing about Medrash, that there's really an irony in Medrash. The irony is this. He says Chazal wrote it in a way that people should realize that they don't understand it and they should leave it. And Chachamim, who really have the ability, will be able to figure it out because they know how to work out the allegories. He says, but what happened was that people who are foolish, they think that they can understand it. And they just take it literally, and they have nice little stories there. They think that's what Chazal meant.
Like by the Malach over there that impregnates the...
That's what I'm saying. So it comes out that Chazal never imagined that this would happen. Because Chazal purposely wrote it that way to conceal it from the Hamon, that they should realize that they're not on the level to understand these ideas, and they purposely hid it. But now the Hamon came and took it literally and said, we understand it, and this is really a literal idea. That's what the Rambam says. An irony in the Midrash. That's what the Rambam says. Like all these things, the only power is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why in the Tefillah they took out where it says, that's why you take out the, where it says over there, Machnisei Rachman, and the Magoyan took it out. A lot of Gedolim took it out. And the end of the Slichah says, Machnisei Rachman, it should be Machnis the Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Took it out. Why? Reb Chaim says, no, I didn't say it. Why? Because one of the animamans is, Sheloi levadoi roi lespalel, the ain roi lespalel lezulosai. Because it says, Korav Hashem l'chol korav l'chol ha-shikru v'anas. It's only Rebbeinu Shalom, that's it. Nobody else. Anyone that believes in another power to worship or to serve, that's already Avodah Zarah. That's the one time I said Moshe about the, I tell you, the tefillah over there for the shots. Hineni. I told them, you know, part over there. They tell me to leave it out. Because, yeah. Because they should call them a of you, to lost me a few, and it's for the whole. Before Moshe.
Yeah.
Tell me to leave it out. Tell me to leave it out. Yeah, me. Tell me, I asked them. He says, you know, he says that there's certain parts they say quietly, anyways, in Hindi. So he says, no one will know. He says, just, you know, just don't say it. Yeah, he says, don't think that's the part. And he was right. Somebody, so far, nobody even asked me a question about it.
Is there a
question of the maybe people? That's really what Avodah Zarah is. This is Avodah Zarah thrives on the superstitious trend. What is all this stuff? That's what it is about. And the Rambam says that's exactly what the Torah took us away from. Show us that it's all nonsense and hevel. And superstition, I mean, is in the modern world today knows it, recognizes that it's such stupidity. If anyone has knowledge, when the Rambam says about the Greek philosophers, what the Rambam is trying to say over there, because the Greek philosophers were chachamim, the scientists. He says that the person should realize that if you see a chacham, no chacham accepts an idea, and he had all the information in front of him. Obviously, there must be something wrong with it. These things were done by people who are fools, by the Canaanites, by the Babylonians, the Egyptians. People are superstitious. Basically, you know, today primitive tribes in Africa do the same type of things. You're going to tell me that this is chachma? What?
Culture.
It's not an easy mitzvah. You know, people look for a little thing, you know, little protective devices.
It's
yes.
Crazy.
Because, why? Then I'll give you all the brachas. According to that's not true. Guy has to have the right. You got to have the right stuff. They put it together. You know, the right chemicals. And you gotta, definitely, it's a primitive thing. All the Indians, all the primitive nations, all the culture, all these things, all the primitive nations. That's what Rambam says. Ata loichein nasan l'chad Hashem l'kem.
Voodoo,
all these things. Any pasuk in the Torah which tells you that there's any power in any object, nowheres. I mean, that should be the biggest riot. If this thing was true, this is a big thing, right? Well, how come there aren't any open sukkim in the Torah that tell us that there's certain things you have to watch out for? There's not one pasuk in the Torah that says anything like that. So as you know right away, you see that there's no such thing. If there was such a thing, the Torah would be an important thing. Torah should say sukkim that say openly this thing is going to protect you, and this thing is there something. You don't find a thing like that. Yeah.
Isn't there one reference, though, and I'm not saying to superstitious protection.
Yeah. Oh, no. Did I mention this once before?
No.
That if a person, for instance, let's say, for instance, a person knows that something is so, he sees that, it's proven that it's so. So, and then he sees a chazal to the contrary. Can I tell you the contradiction? Yeah. You know what I mean? All right. I'll repeat it anyways. Okay. If a person, somebody one time, I speaking to a fellow in Yeshiva, so they said that, he was of the other opinion. He says, if something should be proven scientifically so, and he found the chazal to the contrary, so he would accept the chazal. So I told him, I said, you mean to say, let's say you saw the atom being split, right? And then you came and you saw the chazal say the atom couldn't be split. Who would you accept? He told me, he said he would accept chazal that say the atom cannot be split.
So
I said, that's very nice, I said, but how do you know you saw the chazal? Says that you can't deny your sense perception, you can't deny reality. There's nothing in the Torah that goes against reality. And if you see reality is the way it is, then you see something in the Torah. Obviously, there's something you don't understand about what's written in the Torah. But you can't possibly be consistent by saying, I'll accept that in spite of the reality. How do you know you saw that? That itself is a reality.
The
whole Matan Torah, Torah Messina, is based on sense perception. Once you deny reality, I want you to know one thing. The moment you deny reality, you're teif b'chalat harakula. Because einechem harayis, eisa asher asa Hashem lebal par, and you have all the time in the Torah. Ata harayis ladas, you saw with your own eyes. the whole matan, the whole Taramisinai, the whole Chayrev, constantly Mashmeh says, you saw it with your eyes. So that's the whole proof. Now once you deny that, so then there's nothing. You have nothing anymore.
I said, you say that's about Dr. Kidd.
You know that that originally they were both Maris Agdalim and the whole thing. The Rambam says that the best interpretation is the Evanescence interpretation. He says that the Or HaChama is the original source of knowledge, and the Or HaLevana is a reflected knowledge, but not a creative source of knowledge. And the whole idea is that eventually we should be able to be creative in knowledge, not just to be, there's a receptive knowledge and then there's a creative knowledge. Or referring, it's a metaphor about knowledge. That's what it is. Because the sun shines on the moon, and the moon casts back reflection. But the moon is not the original source of the light. The light means chacham over there. So that's what the Ebenezer says. The Rambam says that's the real pshat. The Rambam's son, I think it is. That's the Ebenezer on it. It doesn't mean literally the physical bodies. It's the moon. It's the sun. The earth also reflects light.